This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here's a recollection of the scariest experience I've ever witnessed. It all started some time ago, during the closing weekend of the Northern Zone rifle season in New York. The sun sets around 4:30, but it's already pitch black by 4. I figured freezing my ass off wouldn't be worth another 15 minutes of hunting. I climbed down from the frigid tree stand, my back turned to the dark, silent forest. Normally, the walk back to the main road takes about 10 minutes, but it took me an hour. Whether it was the darkness, the cold, or sheer exhaustion, I lost my way. And like a hungry lion, the forest seemed to swallow me whole. Stumbling through the mud-covered snow, my white knuckles growing even paler as the grip tightened around my rifle. The sounds around me were faint, the hostile wind whipping through the forest, the soft clink of my bullets in my pocket, until suddenly, I heard it. A sound I'll never forget. A sound that still haunts me to this day. The cry of an infant. Wailing, calling for a mother who wasn't there. I froze in my tracks, but only for a moment. Then I started walking faster, breaking into a light jog. The rational part of me insisted it was just some half-starved coyotes scavenging for any scraps to ease their shriveled stomachs. But deep down, I knew that was the biggest load of bullshit in God's green earth. After running for 15 minutes, I stopped to catch my breath, gasping for air in the cold, icy wind. When I finally lifted my head, I realized just how complete the darkness around me was, my headlamp barely making a dent. My phone had never been great in the woods, but I'd always managed to get a signal when I needed it. This time, though, my phone wouldn't even turn on. Then, I heard something that shook me even more than the infant's cry, the voice of a woman coming from deep within the woods. At first, it was a light, almost gleeful laugh, but then came words, chilling in their calmness.
Hello? I see you. You know that, right?
Her voice had a strange, twisted cheerfulness to it, like she was savoring my fear. If I hadn't been running before, I was certainly sprinting now. The forest around me seemed to come alive with an unsettling chorus of laughter, cries, and agony. The sounds of an unseen symphony wailed into the night, each note a twisted blend of every human emotion, harmonizing into a singular, horrifying sound of pure terror. Then, it stopped. Silence closed in around me as I took in my surroundings, a clearing I didn't recognize, yet somehow felt familiar, like I'd lived in a dream I couldn't quite recall. The clearing was barren, save for a stark white tree standing alone in the middle of the muddy landscape. Its twisted branches reached upward, as if grasping for an unseen place, a place not meant for human eyes. The tree was a grisly tangle of knotted branches, skeletal white bark, and an unsettling silent aversion. I took a step closer, my hands reaching out, yearning for something that wasn't there. At the center of the tree, a crude drawing was carved, a rough outline of a human female, her form disoriented and unnatural. Her hair ran down to the roots of the tree, disappearing underneath miles of bloody soil. Perhaps the most chilling detail of all was the X carved in the middle of her chest, right where her heart should have been. Jutting out from the X, right where the lines intersected, was a rusty nail driven deep into the tree's surface. Finally, my hand reached its destination, the head of the nail protruding from the bark which released from the tree like a knife slowly pulling free from a slab of meat. Then I snapped out of my trance, realizing the stream of crimson blood oozing from the tiny hole in the tree. As soon as it hit my mud-crusted boots, I heard it, a blood-curdling scream echoing from the woodline behind me. It didn't sound human, but it didn't quite sound like an animal either. I bolted through the forest, crashing into the godforsaken trees as I went. My frantic flight through the woods abruptly ended within just a few more steps. I stumbled out onto the dirt road, falling onto my rifle as I tripped, finally reaching the path that led to my truck. I jumped into the cab, slammed the engine to life, and sped down the road. I never felt such relief in my life as I saw the familiar outline of my small house in the distance. Even now, 6 years later, I'm not ashamed to admit I had never been hunting since, or even set foot in the woods, for that matter. But every once in a while, on a cold winter's night, I hear something in my yard, or sometimes even from behind my window. A voice I'll never forget, whispering something that haunts me to this day.
Hello, I see you. You know that, right?
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In the heart of northern Minnesota, where the pine trees stood tall and the silence of the forest was a deep breath of calm, I prepared for a day of deer hunting. It was a time-honored tradition passed down from my father to me. My father had always loved the wilderness, teaching me the ways of the woods, but today, felt different. The air was thick with an unsettling tension that I could not shake. I stepped into the woods just after dawn, the ground crunching underfoot as I made my way to a familiar spot. The sun barely peeked through the leaves, casting eerie shadows on the forest floor. As I settled down on a fallen log, I felt a sudden chill that made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. I shrugged it off, reminding myself that I had come here to hunt, to connect with nature, and remember my father's lessons. Hours passed without a sight of deer. I occasionally spotted squirrels and birds, their rustling a reminder that life thrived around me. I took a deep breath, inhaling the rich scent of pine and damp earth, when suddenly, I heard a voice. It was faint at first, but it grew clearer. It was my father's voice.
"Come here, son. Over here."
The hairs on my arms prickled. I turned, instinctively thinking it was a trick of the wind or my imagination. My father had passed away 2 years ago, but hearing his voice in the thick woods felt so real. A part of me wanted to follow, to see if it was truly him. But then, the rational part of my mind kicked in, reminding me that they're just voices in the woods, probably just my mind, my imagination playing tricks on me. Yet curiosity tugged at my heart, and I found myself walking towards the sound. Deeper into the woods, the trees grew thicker, the air colder. With every step, I held my breath, half hoping to see my father, half terrified of what might lay ahead. The voice called again, more insistent this time.
"Please, help me. I'm lost, son."
That was the final straw. I took another step when the voice twisted, no longer familiar. It came low and raspy.
"Come closer, just a little closer."
I froze. My instincts screamed at me to turn back, but my heart hammered in my chest, urging me forward. I felt as if something was pulling me, an invisible hand guiding me deeper and deeper into the dark, tangled underbrush. Then I saw it, standing in a small clearing. At first glance, it appeared like a deer, but there was something profoundly wrong. It stood taller than any deer I had ever seen, its limbs eerily thin and long. It had a deer's skull for a head, complete with dark, twisted antlers that reached out like skeletal fingers. Its eyes were deep, dark voids that seemed to peer right through me, piercing my very soul. The creature took a step forward, its elongated arms ending in claws that scraped against the bark of the trees. I felt a wave of fear wash over me. My father's voice echoed in my head, but the tone was off.
"Come here, please, I need you,"
it said, the voice twisting again, sounding like a cracked record. It was no longer comforting. It was hungry. My heart raced, and I stumbled back as the creature advanced. I turned to run, but the forest seemed to come alive, branches reaching out to snare me. Each step felt heavy, as if I was wading through molasses. I could hear branches snapping behind me, breathing resonating in the stillness. The creature was chasing me, its rasping voice intertwining with the night air.
"Stay with me. You don't have to go back."
Panic surged through me, urging me to move faster. I dodged left and right, navigating through the dense forest, desperately trying to escape. The dread weighed on me, clawing at my soul like the creature behind me. I could almost feel its cold breath on my neck, whispering sweet promises of eternal peace, of joining my father in a place untouched by pain. Thoughts of my father, memories of our times together, kept me grounded. I thought of all the lessons that he had taught me, about respecting nature, but being wary of what lurks in the shadows. With a burst of determination, I ran towards the direction I believed led back to the trailhead. I stumbled into an open area, moonlight spilling over the ground and illuminating the chaos of the trees. I could see the faint outline of a path ahead, faint and inviting. I sprinted towards it, my breath coming in desperate gasps. But just as I had reached the edge, I dared to glance back. The creature stood watching, its empty eyes glowing with an unnatural light, its skeletal antlers silhouetted against the moon.
"Why won't you stay?"
it called.
"I only want to help. You could be with him again."
"No." I shook my head fiercely. I would not give in. I took the final steps onto the trail and surged forward, following an instinctual route back. The trees began to thin out as the sounds of the forest returned, crickets chirping, owls hooting, and the rattle of dry leaves. With one last burst of energy, I reached my truck parked at the edge of the woods. I scrambled inside, locking the door behind me. I glanced back towards the trees, my heart pounding in my ears. The deep silence of the forest returned, leaving no trace of that horrifying creature. As I drove away, I was shaken, but a creeping sense of relief washed over me. I had escaped, but the chilling memory of that voice stayed with me. I realized that the woods held secrets, a blend of wonder and horror. The darkness had echoed the love of a father and twisted it into something sinister, leaving me with the lesson that not all calls in the woods are safe to answer. I will return to those woods one day, but next time, I will trust my instincts and remember that there are voices in the dark that must never be followed. And perhaps, in the silence, I could still cherish the true memories of my father without being ensnared by the shadows.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Last weekend, my buddy Mike and I decided to go hunting in the dense swamps of southern Florida. The air was thick with humidity, and the sounds of nature filled the space around us. We packed light, taking just our rifles, some supplies, and enough courage to brave the wild. As native Floridians, we were used to this kind of thing. It was supposed to be a normal adventure, but little did we know the horror that awaited us. We left early in the morning, excited for the hunt. The sun was barely peeking over the trees, casting long shadows on the ground. As we walked deeper into the swamp, we heard stories and laughter, our voices bouncing off the thick foliage. Mike had brought along his trusty dog, Rocky, a large golden retriever who was always eager to chase after anything that moved. After a couple of hours, we found a clearing. It was quiet, except for the occasional rustle of leaves and the sounds of the swamp's creatures. We set up our gear, hoping to catch a glimpse of a deer or wild hog. As we waited, I noticed something unusual in the distance. My eyes squinted against the sunlight, trying to make sense of the figure I saw amongst the trees. "Mike, do you see that?" I whispered, pointing towards the strange shape.
"Huh? Where?"
he replied, looking in the direction I was pointing. "There, just past those cypress trees," I said, my heart racing. There it was, a creature that looked strangely human, but had thick, rough scales covering its body. It walked upright, much like a person, but its long tail hung behind it like a serpent. The creature had a pair of glowing eyes that fixed on us, gleaming in the shadows of the trees. I could feel my heart pounding loudly in my chest. I was definitely freaking out.
"That doesn't look right. What the hell is that?"
Mike said, his voice shaky. "You think it's dangerous?" I asked, trying to keep my voice calm.
"Yeah, a freaking alligator man? I'd say so,"
he replied. Suddenly, the creature stepped forward. The fear shot through us. We both instinctively grabbed our rifles.
"Should we shoot?"
Mike asked, his finger resting uneasily on the trigger. "Wait, let's see what it does first," I suggested, hoping to gather my thoughts. But the creature didn't wait. It let out a chilling screech that echoed through the swamp, sending a shiver down my spine. Before we could react, it charged at us. The ground shook with its powerful steps, and the sound of its tail crashing against trees was deafening.
"Run!"
I yelled. We turned and sprinted away, the thick mud sucking at our boots. Rocky barked and darted ahead, instinctively leading the way as we raced through the underbrush. My mind raced, trying to comprehend what we were seeing and running from. The creature was fast, terrifyingly so. I could hear its claws scraping on the tree trunks, leaving deep marks as it chased us. It was gaining on us, and panic surged through my veins. We pushed harder, adrenaline coursing through our bodies, but the swamp was relentless, filled with obstacles. Finally, we stumbled upon an old abandoned cabin. Without thinking, I shoved the door open and pulled Mike inside, slamming it shut just as the creature reached us. We locked the door, and I leaned against it, my heart racing.
"What do we do now?"
Mike panted, looking at me wide-eyed. "We need to figure out what that thing is and how to escape," I replied, looking around the dim cabin. It smelt of damp wood, and the old walls were covered in peeling paint. Rocky whined softly, pressing against my leg. We could hear the creature outside, scratching at the door, growling in frustration. I slowly moved towards a window, peering outside. There it was again, its glowing eyes staring back at me from the shadows. I could make out its jagged teeth, a gruesome grin stretching across its face. I felt a wave of nausea. We were trapped. Mike joined me at the window, breathing heavily.
What are we gonna do?
He whispered, his face pale.
I think it's just waiting for us to come back out,
I said, trying to think. A plan was forming in my mind.
Let's distract it.
What do you mean? He asked, clearly uncertain.
We could make some noise and then sneak out the back. Rocky could lead the way,
I explained, pointing to the back of the cabin, which behind that door opened into thick bushes. Mike nodded, visibly scared but willing to try.
We crept to the back, and I grabbed an old metal pot from the kitchen. It was heavy and would make a loud sound when I threw it. On three, I said, counting slowly. One, two, three.
I hurled the pot out the front door, and it smashed against the ground, making a loud clang. The creature immediately turned, drawn to the noise, and began to move towards the sound.
Now,
I urged, and we slipped out the back door. We plunged into the shadows, pushing through the dense undergrowth. I could hear the creature screeching in frustration behind us, but we kept going, driven by pure fear. Rocky led the way, moving instinctively through the dark. After what felt like an eternity, we finally reached the edge of the swamp. The sound of water flowing was comforting, reminding us of safety. We ran to the truck, jumping in as quickly as we could. Mike turned the key, and the engine roared to life. We sped away, both of us panting and looking back, half expecting to see the creature on our tail. The rest of the drive was silent, each of us lost in our own thoughts. We had escaped, but the image of that scaled humanoid creature with glowing eyes would always haunt us. When we finally reached a safe place, I looked at Mike and said, I don't think we should ever come back here. He nodded, his face pale. Yeah, that thing wasn't just some swamp legend. The crisp Michigan air nipped at my cheeks as I ventured deeper into the woods. My hunting buddy, Matt, trailed behind, his rifle held loosely. We were deer hunting, a yearly ritual for us, a tradition passed down through generations. The woods were quiet, an eerie silence broken only by the crunch of leaves under our boots and the occasional rustle of unseen creatures. The rising sun casted long shadows, painting the trees in hues of oranges and purples. It was a beautiful morning, deceptively peaceful. We had been hunting for hours without a single sighting. Matt, ever the optimist, kept whistling a jaunting tune. I, however, felt a prickling unease. The silence felt wrong. Too still. Too expectant. I hunted these woods my whole life, and this unsettling quiet felt different. It held a menace that I couldn't quite place. Suddenly, Mark stopped, his whistling cut short. He pointed towards a distant thicket. Do you see that? He whispered, his voice barely audible. I strained my eyes, peering into the dense foliage. I saw nothing but shadows and the dappled sunlight filtering through the leaves. See what? I asked, my voice echoing in the stillness. Movement, he replied, his hand tightening on his rifle. Something big. We moved closer cautiously, our rifles raised. The thicket was dense, almost impenetrable. As we parted the branches, the unsettling quiet returned, heavier now, more oppressive. Then we saw it. Its eyes were the first thing we noticed, two glowing embers in the darkness, red and malevolent. They were set in a wolf-like face, but the face was wrong. Too human, too intelligent looking. The rest of the creature emerged slowly, its form solidifying into the dim light. It was tall, taller than a man, its body a grotesque mix of canine and human. A thick coat of dark fur covered its powerful frame, but the arms and legs were unmistakably human, long and sinewy. It moved with an unnatural grace, a silent predator in its own domain. The Dogman. The legend we had scoffed at, the campfire story we had dismissed as folklore. It stood there, a terrifying embodiment of our deepest fears, its glowing eyes fixed on us. I felt a wave of nausea, a cold dread that seeped into my bones. This wasn't a deer. This was something ancient, something evil. Mark reacted first, his rifle spitting out a burst of gunfire. The creature flinched, but didn't fall. It snarled, a guttural sound that chilled us to the marrow, and charged. Its speed was astonishing, a blur of fur and muscle. We scrambled back, firing our rifles as we retreated. The bullets seemed to have little effect. The creature was impervious, moving through the undergrowth with inhuman agility. It was a nightmare given flesh and blood, its size a ferocity amplified by the desperate struggle for survival that suddenly gripped us. The scent of fear, both mine and Mark's, filled the air. We ran blindly, our hearts pounding against our ribs like trapped birds. The creature pursued us relentlessly, its terrifying howls echoing through the woods. We stumbled and fell, our breath ragged, our muscles screaming in protest. The forest floor became a battlefield, a frantic race against death. The glowing eyes, always in sight, fueled our desperation. The creature's power was palpable. It seemed to be manipulating the darkness, the shadows working in its favor. Finally, we stumbled upon a small rocky stream. We plunged into the icy water, the shock momentarily stunning us. The creature hesitated at the edge of the water, its low growl echoing around us. It was reluctant to enter, and that hesitation brought us enough time. We clambered out of the stream, soaked and shivering, but alive. We didn't dare look back. We ran until we reached the edge of the woods, collapsing onto the forest road, gasping for air. Later, we recounted our story to the local sheriff, a grizzled man who had listened with a grim expression. He didn't scoff or dismiss our tale. He knew the legends, the stories talked about in hushed tones around campfires and amongst family members and friends. He nodded solemnly, offering a grim sympathy, a wordless understanding. The experience shattered me. The beautiful, peaceful woods I'd loved since childhood were now forever tainted, forever associated with pure terror. The playful whistling in anticipation of a successful hunt are distant memories now, replaced with the haunting red glow of the dogman's eyes. I'll never hunt in those woods again. The memory of the dogman, a creature of nightmare, and its pure supernatural power continues to haunt me. The peace I once found in those woods is gone, replaced by an unshakable fear that will forever follow me. The innocence of those woods is gone forever. The dogman has taken that and much more. I will never forget, and I will never hunt again. As I walked with my hunting buddies John and Mike deeper into the woods, the leaves crunched under our boots, a symphony of impending adventure, or so we thought. John, a seasoned hunter, always led the way, his rifle slung comfortably over his shoulder. Mike, ever the jovial one, trailed behind, his hunting knife gleaming in the fading sunlight. I, a relative novice, found myself somewhat in between, my heart a drum against my ribs. This was my first serious hunting trip, a rite of passage of sorts, urged on by John and Mike, especially John. We had been tracking a sizable buck for hours, its tracks clearly imprinted in the damp earth. The thrill of the hunt had kept the initial fear at bay. We were deep in the heart of the Redwood National Park, far from any trail or civilization. The ancient redwoods towered over us, their branches intertwining to form a dense canopy that filtered the sunlight, creating a twilight world. The silence was broken only by the rustling of leaves and the occasional snap of a twig under our feet. The air was thick with the scent of pine and damp earth, a smell that now fills me with dread. As the day faded into twilight, John stopped abruptly.
"He's close,"
he whispered, his voice low and urgent. He pointed towards a thicket of bushes. We slowly approached, our hearts pounding in unison. The anticipation was electrifying. My hand trembled as I adjusted the grip of my rifle. Suddenly, a monstrous roar ripped through the stillness. It was a sound that seemed to shake the very foundations of the forest. Before any of us could react, a massive grizzly bear bursted from the bushes, its eyes blazing with fury. Its size was terrifying. It seemed larger than any bear I had ever seen, a colossal wall of fur and muscle. Was there even grizzlies in California? That thought had the weight. John reacted instantly, bringing his rifle to the bear, but the bear was too fast. It charged, a blur of brown fur and sharp claws. John fired, the shot echoing through the woods, but the bear only roared in defiance, its momentum unabated. The bear slammed into John, knocking him to the ground with a bone-jarring thud. The bear's massive paws raked across John's chest. I heard a horrifying scream and the unmistakable sound of tearing flesh. Mike and I stood frozen, terror paralyzing us. It felt like time slowed to a crawl. The bear, its eyes fixated on John, began to maul him. I could feel the icy grip of fear seizing my chest. The hunting knife I had been so proud of suddenly felt useless in my numb fingers. Then instinct took over. I stumbled back, my eyes darting around, searching for an escape. I noticed a large fallen redwood trunk, its gnarled roots exposed. In a desperate move, I scrambled behind it, my heart pounding like a war drum.
The roar of the bear continued, punctuated by sickening sounds of John's agony. I pressed myself against the cold, damp wood, my breath catching in my throat. I dared not move. The air was thick with the scent of blood, and the horrifying sounds of the attack continued. It felt like an eternity, but in reality, it must have only been a few terrifying minutes. Eventually, the sounds ceased. Silence descended, broken only by my ragged breathing. I waited, paralyzed with fear, my body trembling uncontrollably. After what felt like another eternity, I slowly peeked around the fallen trunk. The bear was gone. My friend Jay laid motionless on the ground, a gruesome sight I will never forget. Mike, his face pale and drawn, was kneeling beside him, his eyes wide with shock. He was sobbing, barely able to speak. I managed to get John to the nearest ranger station, but it was too late. John was gone. Mike and I barely survived the trek out, haunted by the memories of the attack. My entire experience had changed me. The thrill of the hunt had been replaced by a deep-seated terror, a primal fear of the wilderness that will probably never leave me. The investigation confirmed it was a female grizzly protecting her cubs, supposedly. We had unwittingly stumbled into their territory. The rangers warned us that this area is a haven for wildlife, and the danger of encountering a bear is not terribly high, but shit happens. It's been a year since that fateful day, and the memories still haunt me. The raw, visceral fear, the smell of blood, the horrifying sounds of John's screams, the sight of that monstrous bear, it all comes flooding back. Redwood National Park, once a place of adventure and excitement, are now a symbol of terror. The sound of crunching leaves sent shivers down my spine, and I'll never go hunting again. I will never set foot in those woods again. The primal scream of that bear still echoes in my nightmares. The memory of John's lifeless eyes haunts my waking hours. The thrill of the hunt was nothing compared to the terror of survival. And the price we paid was far too high.